Welcome to the Agile Wire, brought to you by Wisconsin Agility. We want you to get agile and stay agile. Now here are your hosts, Jeff Bubbles and Chad Beyer.
And we're recording. All right, kick us off, Jeff.
All right, we have Joe Geske and Steven Sykes on the podcast with us today. So you guys came up with an interesting problem that you've seen in the industry and in our Agile community here, and you're doing something about it. And so let's start the podcast and dive right into it. What is this problem and what are you doing?
Eden, you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that the problem that we found is that we have problems on both sides of our Scrum Master market. I've been on occasion asked by some of my clients to sit in on some Scrum Master interviews. And what we found out very, very quickly was, one, the quality of Scrum Masters applying for jobs was quite differentiated in that there was very, very few high caliber candidates and a lot of candidates who we would call Scrum Masters in name only. And on the other side of the market, we were finding that there are a lot of companies who are getting rid of their Scrum Masters and their Agile coaches. So we have this kind of unique problem, right? That we have lots of people who want to become Scrum Masters who don't know how to do Scrum Mastery properly. So a lot of supply, and at the same time we can see some demand shrinking with some companies getting rid of Scrum Masters, and we thought that that was an interesting problem to dig deeper about. So I think I'll hand over to Joe. Where do we take it next, Joe?
Well, that's why we create a Scrum Match.
So what's Scrum Match? It sounds like a dating site.
I mean, we know what it is, right? We know what it is, but for the listeners of the podcast, Scrum Match
is a recruiting platform where companies can save time and money during recruiting, but also the risk of hiring a Scrum Master name only by finding true Scrum Masters on Scrum Match.
And here's the point. A lot of companies that we've seen, they can't tell the difference between what is a good Scrum Master and what's not a good Scrum Master, right? Yeah. And that's why they asked for my help and Joe's help, and we thought, well, how this is something that a lot of companies can benefit from, but also on the Scrum Master side, those who are really doing Scrum properly and generating value, they want to be differentiated from the rest of the market. So there was absolutely a win there on both sides if we can get this right.
So how are you finding these Scrum Masters? Like how do you do this?
That's an interesting story. Just let me go back a bit. We were thinking about Scrum Match for quite a while, but then we didn't really start implementing it immediately. For one, our team that's developing Scrum Match was busy with a client project, and then we were first working on another product, but then we learned early that the other product wasn't viable. And that's when we started Scrum Match in October last year. So we got everyone on the team together. We actually met in Spain just because it was a good location to meet for everyone involved. And we locked ourselves in for a week. Basically, we did a hackathon for a week, and we built the first version of Scrum Match within the week. We launched, I remember, on 12th of October, and we did 3 hours of LinkedIn marketing on Friday, the 13th, actually, by contacting Scrum Masters. And we're still working on the backlog of Scrum Masters who created and submitted a profile after that. So that's about what we did in order to gauge and get the interest of Scrum Masters who actually want to stand out and who want to differentiate themselves from, a lot of Scrum Masters.
So what does it mean to work the backlog of Scrum Masters? Like, tell our audience more about that.
Sure. So every Scrum Master can create an account for free and then create a profile and submit a profile to us. And then their profile is being reviewed by Scrum experts. And depending on that part of the review, Scrum Masters are either asked to refine their profile, work a bit more on some aspects of the profile, or we're going to invite them to an interview. And in the interview, we review and assess their Scrum maturity. So what's their level of experience, what's their knowledge, and how good are they to use Scrum, for example, to improve a product resulting from a Scrum team? Or how experienced are they in actually improving the entire value stream of the product? And depending on the review results, we activate their profile and we make the Scrum maturity transparent to potential employers, so that employers don't have to go through the effort of assessing a Scrum maturity themselves.
So who are these reviewers? Because it sounds like that might be the key, right? Like, because if they've got to go through this gate of reviewers and they're supposed to have this level of maturity and knowledge of what good Scrum looks like, and they're doing this for the employers, like who are these people?
Absolutely. It started with Steven and myself being the reviewers, but then we were overwhelmed by the number of submissions that we got. So our first point of contact we reached out to was our community of PSTs, professional Scrum trainers from scrum.org. And that's actually how we found you, Jeff and Chad, in helping us by also becoming reviewers, right? So it's the four of us. You focus on the Americas. So every Scrum Master who comes in, submits a profile being in the Americas, usually gets a review with you. And for Europe, Middle East, Africa, Asia Pacific, they will eventually meet Stephen and myself in a review.
Can I jump in, Joe, and talk about a short story regarding the Scrum Masters? I remember me and Joe were sitting in Spain the night before launch, and we were having a nightcap, a drink. And I asked Joe, what number of Scrum Masters coming onto the site would you be happy with a day after the launch? And if my memory serves me correct, Joe, you said, I think 10 that you'd be happy with?
I was super nervous. I mean, we invested a lot of money in even making the first version of Scrum Edge happen, mm-hmm. right after a week. And I wasn't sure. Are we probably just having a dream here? So I told Steven, I have no idea what I'm going to do if tomorrow morning, like 12 hours after launch, there will be no submissions. Right? And then Steven, you asked me, what's a good number? And I said, I don't know. And you said, what about 10? And I said, yeah, I'll accept 10, right? I accept 10, 10 submissions, right? So 10 Scrum Masters went to scrummash.com, created an account for free and submitted a profile. I think next morning, 8 o'clock, so the team came in at 8, right? We were there by 7, I think, in the morning. I cannot remember exactly how many, but it was many times 10 submissions. And then we realized, okay, we do have a different problem here.
Yeah, and then two weeks later, it was absolutely transparent to us. Like, the biggest problem wasn't the number of submissions. It was both me and Joe. We didn't have enough time in our hands to be able to go through the number of submissions of Scrum Masters who wanted to go through the process. So what a great product owner problem to have, right?
Yeah, so now you've got all this huge demand coming in, right? Because it's a two-sided platform. Yeah. But you got to filter through that, right? You got to curate that list. So how are you doing that today? Let's talk about that.
Steven.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, the first thing that that's our kind of filtering process is we ask our Scrum Masters to fill out a profile. And part of this profile, they have to answer a question about their experience, about their experiences. And that's like kind of the first level of filtering, because it's very easy to find out based on this question that they have to answer whether somebody knows what they're talking about or they don't know what they're talking about. So that's the first level of filtering. And once they go through the first level of filtering, we invite them to this review. And during this review, through lots of questioning on our side, it's very easy to find out about who knows their stuff, who doesn't, and where they sit in regards to their Scrum maturity and Scrum knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting facts that I've found is just like about 44% of the people that go onto the platform and want to be reviewed, like they're not even real Scrum masters. Mm-hmm. Like they can't teach Scrum. They don't even know the elements of Scrum, but they want to get this highly paid job of a Scrum master somewhere in the world. And they just don't even have the foundational knowledge. And so I think this is kind of the problem that we see, is that employers don't know what they don't know. They want to do Scrum. They want to be able to deliver more frequently. They want to deliver more value. They've heard about Scrum. They know enough to be dangerous. And so a lot of times they've hired these type of people in the past, and they've given the Scrum Master name a bad name. It actually has a bad rap, I think, in a lot of parts of the world.
Totally.
And a lot of organizations. And what we're trying to do is fix that, not by like changing everything, but we can help filter through and say, these people are true Scrum Masters. They've got these experiences helping other organizations. They're available. Are you interested in talking to them? And we can be that matchmaker, because there's a lot of great Scrum Masters out there. There's a lot of great organizations out there. They just need to find each other. And that's a really hard thing at times when people don't know what they don't know. They don't have the connections. And so that's really, I feel like, what we're trying to do. And so I think there's a huge win-win in the world for Scrum Masters and organizations if we can pull this off and make this two-sided platform.
Let me just add to what you're saying. There is a huge demand for Scrum Masters who can actually deliver value, right? And that's the thing that we're really testing on Scrum matches, which Scrum Masters actually deliver value to their organizations and which ones don't, right? And what we've seen in the industry is anybody can do a two-day certification course and call themselves Scrum Masters, but how many of those Scrum Masters have actually delivered value to their organizations?
And we see it in submissions, right? So there are submissions where people talk about the team, the process in the team, improving psychological safety, for example, a lot of team internal things which are all required in order to be effective, right? But then a lot of Scrum Masters confuse them with the means to an end, right? So they think a happy team or psychologically safe team is the end, where it's more a means to an end, and the end is creating more value sooner, right? More value for stakeholders, more than more value for the team itself, right? So we see the difference in how Scrum Masters who submit their profile respond to questions we ask during the profile creation and also during the subsequent interview.
Yep. And I think for me, that's one of the biggest value propositions to the market for the employer side is, so the four of us, right, not to pat ourselves on the back too much here, but we all consider ourselves experts in Scrum, and that's through our experiences, right? We've even rated each other a little bit, you know, in conversations, and we're like, yeah, like we're pretty good at what we do, mm-hmm. and yet even us going through as reviewers, right? Because I think Jeff and I have been helping you out since, I want to say, it was early December now, and it's about mid January as we're recording this, mm-hmm. It's hard, even for us. It's not an easy process to do this, right? It's the same thing as many things. It's like, how quickly can you get to a no on a candidate, right? Because we have to save our time too. If we go through a deep dive review process for everybody, that's hard. So we try to have this like sort of, there's little hurdles and layers that we're looking for to move somebody to the next step, and it's still hard because this is called Scrum Match right now, and we've had a handful of candidates come through, Jeff and I, through the review process. They're amazing. Like, they do great things for organizations. They're improving. They're doing agile things, but their Scrum knowledge is lacking, and they have all this great experience, but we're not Agile Match. We're not Continuous Improvement Specialist Match. Mm-hmm. We're Scrum Match right now, right? And maybe there's more later. But for now, it's Scrum Match. And so you have to sort of, you know, you have to kindly let those candidates down and say, hey, you're awesome. You're doing great things. But right now, the platform is focused on this. Yeah. So I guess back to the value prop, the reason it's not impossible, but it's challenging to do this. And we're doing that for the employer. For an employer to take this on themselves with just a standard recruiting or a standard HR department, you are not going to be able to do it. And so that's why a lot of times you hire a recruiter to help you anyway. Mm-hmm. In this case, Scrum Match is just a very specialized recruiter, and in a way, I guess, right? And we're doing that work for you, right? And it's not like we press a button and an AI does this for us. Like, this is roll up our sleeves and we have to do this hard work, but that's going to pay off for the employer.
That's actually a good point, right? AI. We tried by feeding anonymized profiles to AI, and we created different prompts for AI and ask AI to rate the Scrum maturity of that Scrum Master candidate, right? And AI was completely all over the place, completely off, right? Yep. So nothing actually replaces an interview where a candidate has to answer a question within seconds, right? You can prepare for all sorts of questions if you have all the time in the world, but your answer is going to be completely different if you have to do it on the spot, right? And then also look at the data, right? We reject 44% of all the submissions, right? Compare this to how most companies, at least among the companies we know, how they assess the Scrum Master. They invite them to facilitate a sprint retrospective, right? Now, facilitating a sprint retrospective, I would say that's the absolute basics of what a Scrum Master should be able to do. It doesn't tell us whether or not it's a true Scrum Master, right? Who knows how to help a team deliver many times the value that it would deliver without a Scrum Master, right? That's not a good assessment process, right? So we do the hard work, and it's actually hard work, right? Because again, we can't do it by AI, we do it manually. So every review with all the preparation before the interview or the interview itself is easily something that takes 60 minutes to 90 minutes, right, per candidate. You can't replace that by technology. You can't replace that just by asking Scrum Master to facilitate yet another sprint retrospective.
And if I can jump in, Joe, one of the side effects that we saw of doing these reviews wasn't just the fact that people were happy to come onto the platform. This is probably one of the first times that these people are getting actual feedback in regards to the answers they're giving. How many, when you go to an employer interview, how many people take the time to talk about, this is what you did well, this is what you can improve upon, and here's your homework. Go study this, and this. This might help you next time. And what we found out is even the people who we were turning down to come onto our platform were very, very grateful for the feedback we gave them.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing over and over again as reviewers, right? It's not that we would encourage people to just use it for feedback, because our time is valuable, right? But it is a nice secondary side effect for people going through the process.
Yeah, and it's interesting, after we ask them those questions and then we show them our scale and we talk through it with them, when they self-assess themselves, they're almost exactly where we are. Within one, no one's ever been off by more than one for where we thought most are right on where we think they should be. And then we talk about how do they get better? What would they need to learn? What experience would they need to have to move them to that next level? And it's just, every interaction we've had so far has been very, very positive. And so I think it's great for the Scrum Masters. And I think it's also going to be a great thing here as we start to make some matches with different organizations. I think one of the things I'd like to pivot to in the conversation, Joe, is like, you know, so we're professional Scrum trainers. We teach a lot of courses. We understand Scrum deeply. But like, can you tell just our listeners about what does our Scrum team look like? Like, how often do they deliver? How are we learning? There's so much to build right now. Like, we're building a two-sided platform. There's so many things we could be building right now. Like, the list just seems like it's never ending and we're never going to run out of things to do. But like, how do we pick the right things to work on? Like, maybe you're the product owner, so maybe share some of your insights.
So it all starts with listening to our users and getting feedback from them, right, from using the platform. We have different types of users. We have ourselves as reviewers. We are users of the platform. We have the Scrum Masters, our talents who use the platform, and we have the employer side who also use the platform. And we engage with them almost daily, right? We engage with the Scrum Masters through the interview, and also as part of the interview, at the end of interview, we usually ask them for feedback, and we take a lot of good ideas from this question, right? We do the same thing with employers and ask them what they need, what Scrum Masters are you looking for, what's important to you, how is our platform helpful in you finding the right match, right? And then we consider all those different needs. And then we obviously work towards a goal, right? We have a strategic goal we work towards to, we have a product goal we work towards to, and whatever we think will help us reach our product goal the fastest, that's what we use in order to order our product backlog.
And I mean, one of the cool things I think about the Scrum team is like, they just deliver very, very often, like multiple increments per sprint, every sprint. That's just what they do. And it's kind of amazing. We'll the four of us will get together and basically do refinement as we talk about different strategic things, the problems we're seeing, what's the most impactful thing we could do to move ourselves forward towards that goal. You'll give them that feedback, and within days, usually, or some, I mean, I think there's been times it's been within hours, like there's a change in the platform and we've got that new feature to try out. And it's really pretty remarkable. Like, this is probably one of the most responsive teams that I've ever worked with. And I've worked with a lot of teams.
Well, yeah, true. So for one, it's a very small team, right? So it's easier to create multiple increments within a small team. We had our refinement conversation last Friday evening, right? Just 10 minutes before we went into this recording, we delivered the increment that will deliver parts of what we have refined on Friday night. So we usually create an increment every day. Sometimes it takes a couple of more days. It really depends on the complexity involved, right? I guess. By planning to release daily, we will never be empty-handed by the end of a sprint, right? So there will always be something new that we think will be valuable that we can give to users in order to validate whether or not our understanding of what we learn from users or our assumptions were right.
I want to juxtapose that what we're doing in Scrum Match with how many actual Scrum teams out there are able to actually deliver increments each sprint, right? I mean, we're in a really lucky position that we have a team that's delivering increments regularly, and we're able to kind of validate that value very quickly. But how many other Scrum teams in real life is able to do that so frequently? And that goes back to our question of kind of how many Scrum Masters are actually being able to deliver value for their teams? How many of those teams are delivering value and creating increments? So, I mean, we eat our own dog food at Scrum Match, right? We do the same thing as that every other Scrum team has to do. We release regularly. We validate our assumptions, and we keep changing, inspecting, and adapting our product backlog.
Let's talk about validating assumptions, because I think that's a missing piece for many Scrum teams. How are we doing that?
Well, absolutely. We work towards a sprint goal. Usually the sprint goal is around an assumption, right? We want the product to be capable of solving a problem that it cannot solve yet. And we either do this because we got the user feedback there is a missing capability of the product, or we do it because we think this is going to help us reach a goal, right? If we think it will help us reach a goal, it's based on an assumption. And the only empirical way of validating or invalidating this assumption is by releasing it to users and then either measuring how users are going to use it and respond to it, or by asking for their feedback. And we do both.
Yep. It's all about the outcome, right? There's a goal with an outcome of a behavior from a user or a customer that we're looking for. And we have assumptions, and we're testing against it all the time and trying to change behaviors and to move the product forward towards a certain strategy.
Absolutely. The product itself is just a means to an end, right? To solve a problem, right? The problem here is helping our employers find true Scrum Masters faster and with less risk involved, right? And less cost involved. Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if there's an analogy, an equivalent in a different product and industry context, but like, you know, Scrum Match, which is a problem statement to improve the quality of Scrum implementations around the world, is being built by a high-performing Scrum team. Like, I just think that's kind of cool. Like, there's this really interesting loop happening. Like, there has to be another product like that out there, but I can't think of one on the spot.
Pretty sure there is, but everything else would be funny, right? If we were building Scrum Match using anything else, like, I don't know, a plan-driven deterministic approach, I'm not sure if we could do that, right?
Well, how would that make us a Scrum Masters, Joe, if both us Scrum Masters and product owners started doing project management on a waterfall style? Mm-hmm. That would be...
Scrum Match. We brought the water...
Water Match, yeah.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I don't want to... Not to knock any of the tool creators out there, but I bet there's some agile software tools that people use that are probably built with something that looks much closer to waterfall than an iterative approach. maybe that's becoming less and less now, but I bet there's still some out there that are pretty traditional, big upfront planning.
But I mean, I gotta say though, that's not to say that we don't go through all the pains that every other Scrum team goes through. We do. Right? It's just, even we've worked through those pains, and even though we have lots of pains, we're still able to create really good software every sprint and deliver multiple increments per sprint, right?
It's also the reason why we were a bit hesitant at the beginning whether or not we really wanted to go into the realm of developing and operating a product, right? I asked my team, are you ready to do weekend support, right? And then they said, yeah, if need be. So I asked, okay, so how can we avoid having to do weekend support, right? And we said, okay, we're going to establish a very good definition of done, so making sure that whatever increment we release, in our view, will not require weekend support. And so far, we've been right? We've got like a couple of maybe two or three support requests that I, as a product owner, could resolve because they were more about the usability of the product, but not about the technology. And so far, none of us had to render any weekend support, which is what I think is what every product should aim for, right? Mm-hmm. We're just reducing cost and a lot of headache by not getting into a position where we have to do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so... call to action here. Like, when we think about what would we want our listeners to do, I would say Scrum Masters, if you're out there, if you're interested in finding an organization that, you know, is doing Scrum and needs a certain level Scrum Master, like, go ahead, fill out a profile, go through an interview with us. We'll be able to maybe even help you on your path to growth as a Scrum Master. If nothing else, that's a minimum what you'll get. At a maximum, we'll help you place you with the right organization or organization where you can grow and use your skills to the best of your abilities. Organizations out there, if you're looking for Scrum Masters, if you need a Scrum Master, if you need somebody to help move your organization forward on your agile journey, like, come to Scrum Match. We have all levels of Scrum Masters. We have people that would be great candidates that need to get a foot in the door. They've got the training. They've got the right, you know, soft skills to really make it, to learn fast and really be great. And we've got people that have done it before, scaled multiple products, optimized whole organizations. Like, we've got and everything in between there. And so depending on what your needs are, we've got something for you. And we're working on building out more and more and having more and more profiles available across the world so that it matches what people need in their location. But, you know, with this remote world, we have so many people that are willing to work remote in different time zones that, you know, we do have a very good list already for organizations that are out there that are looking for Scrum Masters. So I guess I would just encourage both sides of the platform, like, check us out, connect with us. If you want to learn more, we'd be happy to chat with you. Connect with us on LinkedIn or just fill out a profile and let's see where this goes.
Jeff, you're lost on this whole Scrum Mastery business. Have you thought about like a career in marketing?
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm going to say what Jeff said. And hit us up on LinkedIn and get in contact. We'll happily answer any questions that anybody has.
What else, Joe and Steven, like, do you want to plug? Is there anything else other than Scrum Match that you don't want to plug to our listeners?
Not right now. We believe in focus, right? And the focus right now is actually Scrum Match and getting it out in the world and making it known to more employers. So that's it, actually.
Yeah, and I want to say, please, you can add both me and Joe on LinkedIn, but also follow Scrum Match on LinkedIn. What we post regularly on LinkedIn about where our product is and what Scrum Match is doing. So any update you want on Scrum Match, you can find on LinkedIn because we post regularly.
I've been amazed at the transparency that you have been providing in the updates. So it really, again, another meta level cool thing about a product being built by Scrum experts that I think is
there's
really,
likely
really cool.
a bit more transparency to come. We are going to make our sprint reviews public to talents like Scrum Masters on the platform, and also to employers using the platform, so that they can discuss with us even earlier what Scrum Match should be helping them with or what it's going to be capable of.
That will be so cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I try to work myself into a lot of products I use. I always like test the waters. I'm like, hey, if you have sprint reviews, I'm happy to join them. And like, I never get responses from companies, but I try to work my way into sprint reviews at products I use, like my accounting software and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that, again, so awesome that you're doing that. How rare is that? That you can, you have a public sprint review that someone can, you know, maybe not anybody, but at least, like you said, people who are on the platform can come and observe it, learn from it, right?
Yeah.
It's actually, it's giving you an interesting question to think about because, Scrum is all about transparency, right? But how transparent do you want to get with your sprint review and your product goal and your strategic goal when you also might have a competitor?
Yep.
In your sprint review, right? So we're going to think about that. But we asked the followers on LinkedIn, would you attend, if we do it, to learn more about Scrum Match insights, maybe also understand a bit more how we do it. Maybe there's something in for you. And I think there was an overwhelming, 90%-ish who said, yeah, we would attend either regularly or irregularly. So yeah, we're definitely going to give that a try and see how this is being received and whether or not it's going to help the audience and it's going to help us improve Scrum Match, you know?
And even like if they're on the platform and they haven't seen what a great sprint review looks like this could just be a model like, oh, I haven't ever seen a really good one. Like, and maybe an organization comes in and they're like, wow, I want our sprint reviews to be like that. Give me a Scrum Master that can help us get there, right? And so I think that there could be a feedback loop there that reinforces itself. And so I think it's a great thing that you're providing. And I don't know, my opinion always on transparency for things like that with competitors is I haven't seen it. Like, I think there's just more value in being transparent and bringing people along and being inclusive and collaborating with people. And could you be taken advantage of? Yes. But you know what? Everybody can be taken advantage of at some point if somebody wants to. I just don't think most people in the world have the time to go out and take advantage of all their competitors. They're too busy worrying about what they're doing and trying to meet their own goals. So they're not trying to provide negative value in the world, you know. So, but I hope that works out. I hope we get to see that coming forward. And thanks again for joining us on the podcast. It's been great. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Been a pleasure.
If you found value in today's episode, share this with a friend. Until next time, get agile and stay agile.